invite you to turn to the book of Colossians for a springboard for our message this morning. Tests of true forgiveness, and I should start by saying this. After I prayed and studied and prepared this whole sermon outline, it hit me. Maybe I'm off on the wrong leg. Maybe I'm supposed to be talking about tests of that we have the confidence that our own sins are forgiven. And if that was the committee's desire, I apologize. That's not the way the Lord has led me. In fact, I never even thought about that until after this sermon was prepared. Bulk of our message this morning is tests of our ability and willingness, and if we have truly forgiven our fellow men. I hope that's where you wanted to go. All right, so Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And just my own personal comment, that's going to go a long way. If we have those Christian virtues, it's going to go a long way in helping to forgive those who do us wrong. Verse 13, notice the instruction, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. By way of introduction this morning, the title suggests that there may be a possibility of a fictitious, fake, artificial, and fabricated forgiveness. Tests of true, genuine forgiveness. Letter B, forgiveness is not forgetting. I've heard preachers already say that if we truly forgive someone for something, we forget it. I haven't found that to be true in my own life. Forgiveness is not necessarily forgetting. According to Webster, the word forgive has this definition: to give up resentment against, to give up all claims to punish, to grant free pardon. And that's pretty easy to do if we have those qualities that are mentioned in verse 12. Forbearing, according to Strong's Concordance here, means to endure and to put up with. You know, all of us have some people we have to put up with in our lives. You know that? And if God removes that individual from your close circle of acquaintance, guess what? He'll put somebody else there that we need to put up with. That's just the way life is. Strong's Concordance also means that gives the definition for forbearing to suffer, willing to suffer, forbear. Okay? The word forgiving here comes from the Greek word, and I won't try to pronounce it, but it means to show oneself gracious to, kindness, benevolent, and to pardon. Forgiving one another, pardoning one another. So in clarifying what I already said, that there must be a possibility of fake forgiveness, sometimes, I think, in our churches, in our Anabaptist churches, we have brethren and we have sisters who would say they have forgiven offenses that have come in their life. They would say that because they know it. Our forgiveness with God is dependent on our forgiveness with other men, but still down deep in their heart, they're holding resentment. And they haven't given a free pardon. They haven't excused the brother or the sister or the neighbor for the hurt that they have incurred into their life. Letter G. Forgiveness is sometimes a journey, but it is always in the present state. You see, my own experience is we forgive some injury that someone has caused into our life, but we need to keep on forgiving. We don't forget it. It's an ongoing journey. And sometimes it takes a space of time until we really lay down the charge and express in our heart forgiveness and pardon for that individual. I'm so glad God is merciful in that journey. He's not ready to cut us off the first time we hesitate to release and pardon an offense that comes into our life. But His Holy Spirit works with us, encourages us, helps us in this journey to find forgiveness. Praise God for that. All right. Secondly, or first of all, I should say, after an introduction, I ask this question: who needs to forgive? Turn with me in your Bibles to James, the third chapter. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If you're here this morning and you are a perfect individual and no offenses ever come out of your mouth by your tongue, would you raise your hand? We're human beings. And it is shocking sometimes how quickly we can offend people. I will probably never forget it. There was a young couple in one of our churches years ago who had the Lord had seemed to close up her womb, and they didn't have children for a long time. Finally, the Lord blessed them with a child. And in visiting with them in their home after the child was born, we had a wonderful visit. But when we got up to walk out the door, I said these words: enjoy this precious little baby, because turn around a few times and you're going to be saying goodbye and the child will be going off to school. Little did I know, that couple was offended at that statement. And they held it against me for a long time. In many things we offend. We're all humans. And we all sometimes say things that we ought not to say. And dearly beloved, sometimes we allow ourselves to be hurt at that which we shouldn't let get hurt us. So who needs to forgive? All of us need to forgive. Children must learn to forgive. Well, the Bible instructs us that children are pretty easy. They're quite ready to usually they're quite ready to forgive and forget. Not always. We have a little grandson of ours who lives outside of the box in a lot of different ways. I could tell you some interesting, intriguing stories about him. My time doesn't permit me to do that. But one time he made some statement that I kind of laughed at him at, and he was offended. And you know, the next couple times we were with that family, he distanced himself from me. And I soon realized this little boy was hurt. And I talked to his father about it, and he said, yeah, if you made fun of him one time, he'll remember that. And you know, I needed to make some apologies to that little grandson of ours. And you know what? Our relationship was restored. Soon after that, they came to visit us. And the little fella, he came over and he just wanted to sit on my lap. Restored relationships. Forgiveness. It was all because he was willing to forgive me. Bless his little heart. Children must sometimes forgive. Young people need to forgive. My wife and I have worked with two young women over the years. Both of those young women, young girls, their father had done some things to them that they could not forgive. And oh, what a wreck of their lives they have allowed themselves to experience. One of those girls I needed to excommunicate. And I took the deacon along with me to meet with her after we tried and tried and tried to help that young girl forgive her father. And the deacon relayed to that young girl how his own father was a drunkard and how he witnessed his own father beating his mother in his very presence as a little child and how he needed to forgive his daddy. Won't you follow my example and forgive your daddy? I can. That young girl tried to commit suicide several times. The other young girl that we worked with, she really allowed an unforgiving spirit to mess up her life in her communication skills, where she would clam up and would not even answer questions that you directed to her personally. I remember one time we were sitting in her house and she had a family picture and we were trying to get to the root of her problem, a bitterness and unforgiveness. And we asked, I pointed to her mother, is this the problem in your life, the person you can't forgive? No. Is it your sibling here, this one? No. Is it this other sibling? No. And then I pointed to her father. Stone silence. Clammed up, unable to speak a word. I want to tell you, unforgiveness is horrible. We'll pick up on that towards the end of the message. Young folks need to forgive. Because if you don't, your life will be wrecked and wrought with difficulty and disillusion and a lot of pain. Adults need to forgive one another. That's right. We must willingly, what does it say here? Tender-hearted, kind, we must learn to forgive. Corrie ten Boom gives a wonderful example of forgiving someone who had offended her. Let me read to you her testimony. After the war, she returned to Germany to declare the grace of Christ. It was 1947, and I'd come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was a truth so that it was the truth that they needed most to hear in that bitter, bummed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from Hollander's mind, I like to think. And that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. And even though I cannot find a scripture for it, I believe God then places a sign out there, no fishing allowed. The solemn faces of the audience stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next moment, a blue uniform and a cap with skull and crossbones. It came back to me with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the corner of the floor. The shame of needing to walk naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, her ribs sharp beneath the parched skin. Betsy, how thin you were. That place was Ravensbrook, and the man who was making his way forward had been the guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message, Fraline. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are in the bottom of the sea, and I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook. Rather than take that hand, he would not remember me, of course. How could he remember only one prisoner among those thousands of women, but I remembered him. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to ask to hear it from your lips as well, Fraline. Again, the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking? It could have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me, it seemed like hours. As I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed earnestly, silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust out my hand into the outstretched hand to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known of God's love so intensely as I did then. But even then, I realized it was not my love, my own love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Adults need to forgive. Sometimes we need help, the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to forgive. Aged people must forgive. I know of an aged couple who the neighbor said concerning the man who's a brother in an Anabaptist church, once you cross his path, he will never forget it, and he will never forgive you. I wish I could say that wasn't a Mennonite. A neighbor said that. Once you cross his path, he will never forget it, and he will never forgive you. His wife is kind of a basket case. Just recently, her sister told my wife and I that one of her other sisters made a statement to her that she just can't forgive. Adults, older people, listen, the Bible instructs us that we must forgive. If we want to be forgiven, of our transgressions in the court of heaven, we must forgive. I'm taking the scenic route, incidentally, to our message. I didn't get there yet. Tests of true forgiveness. You understand that? We're taking the roundabout way to get to our message this morning. Why we need to forgive? We need to forgive because the Bible instructs us to. And according to Matthew 18, 21, let's turn there momentarily. Matthew, the 18th chapter. We need to forgive because failure to forgive will affect our worship. It will affect our relationships. It will affect our physical health, and it may also affect our mental health. And we have this account here in Matthew 18, verses 21 to the end of the chapter. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Do you see that statement? Sometimes God delivers to the tormentors loss of mental capability to think straight. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother their trespasses. Why must we forgive? First of all, we want to worship God, and an unforgiving spirit will hinder our worship. More of that momentarily. We do that for the sake of relationships. You know, my little grandson loves me, wants to sit on my lap. Restored relationship because he forgave me. Failure to forgive just annuls our passport to heaven and New Jerusalem, according to Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15. May I restate that? We must forgive because failure to forgive disannuls our passport to heaven and to the holy city, New Jerusalem. I have a newspaper clipping here. I don't know where I got this, but I've been carrying it in my Bible for many years. It's entitled Brotherly Hate. Two brothers locked in a bitter family feud that kept them apart for 25 years were brought together by fate when both died of heart attacks in the same hospital emergency room within 2 hours. The rift between Clarence and Charles Addams started with a squabble over their children. Interesting. So have a whole lot of other squabbles started. And grew so deep that the brothers only spoke a few times during the last 25 years, even though they lived just 15 miles apart. In the past decade, the brothers talked to each other only two times. One time at their mother's funeral 9 years ago, and another time when their sister died. Both in a bizarre twist of fate, the feud ended when both men were pronounced dead by the same medical team in the same hospital, 1 hour and 58 minutes apart. Clarence, who lived in Dedham, Massachusetts with his wife Maureen, and their three children, was at his desk in the family-owned Auburn nursing home when he was struck by a heart attack at about 12:30 p.m. The paramedics immediately rushed the 56-year-old man to Faulkner Hospital, where the emergency room staff was unable to save him. Clarence was pronounced dead at 1:26 p.m. 1 hour later, Charles suffered a heart attack and fell off a forklift at Beacon's Moving and Storage, where he had worked for 32 years. A co-worker managed to temporarily revive 61-year-old Charles, who lived in Brookton, Massachusetts, with his wife Gladys and their seven children. Then the same ambulance team that had picked up his brother rushed Charles to Faulkner Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 3:24 p.m. The children and I were standing with Clarence after we knew he was gone, just touching him, saying, "Goodbye," Maureen said. We were about to leave when the ambulance pulled up and the same nurse who had just been trying to help Clarence came and said, "Does he have a brother, Charles?" And we said, and I won't say what it reads, "This whole thing is so weird," said Charles' widow, Gladys. "I feel like maybe they were meant to be close to each other after all." How many of us would like to die in a situation like that? No hands. Then why do we live like that sometimes, is my concern and question. Why do we live like, why do we give certain people that it takes the grace of God to live with, why do we have a wall between us and them? That we don't speak one to another? Why? Tests of true forgiveness. Letter D, why we must forgive? We must choose to forgive regardless of whether the individual requests it or not. That's our introduction this morning. Now, you ready for some tests? Some tests that we can ask ourselves whether or not I have forgiven a brother or a sister or a neighbor for the injury that they have incurred in my life. Number one, how do we pray for the offender? Do we ask God, since he's the vindicator of injustice, do we ask him to bring vindication upon that individual? Or do we pray like Jesus and Stephen did, "Father, forgive them. They don't know how they've hurt me. But please, God, forgive that individual." That's a test of whether or not you and I have forgiven the offender. That's a big test, how we pray for them. Letter B, a test of whether or not we've forgiven them is, how do we talk about the offender? How we talk about the person. Do we speak kindly, gracefully, like we read about there in our opening scripture? Or do we speak a little haltingly? There's some bitterness down there, but I can't express it. I just can't. You know what I'm talking about. Tests of forgiveness. How we talk about the individual who transgressed us and hurt us. Letter C. Are you able to look into the eyes of the offender with a clear countenance yourself? Is a real test. Can I look at that individual? Can I greet that brother, that sister, and look him directly in the eyes with a clear countenance? Or do my eyes fall down? Oh, I could tell you. No, I can't tell you that story. Letter D. Am I able to speak respectfully to the offender? Can I speak respectfully and courteously to the offender? Letter E. Am I willing to suffer loss graciously? Two dear brothers, I knew them both. Both were in the excavating business. One brother seen a bulldozer advertised at a public sale that he wanted to buy, and he invited the other brother to go along with him to the sale because they were selling a whole lot of other excavating equipment. So they rode together to the public sale. And the brother that was invited to go along outbid the brother who invited him to go along on that particular piece of excavating equipment. And the brother that invited him to go along was offended and deeply hurt. I am told by a reliable source that ever after that, their worship practices changed. While they used to sit beside each other in church on a regular basis, now one came in that door and the other one came in this door, and they sat quite a few benches apart. And when church was dismissed, one went out that door and one went out that door, and there was absolutely no speaking terms between the two individuals. So I asked you this morning, or I tell you this morning, true tests of forgiveness. Am I willing to suffer hurt and loss graciously? You know, the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, when you and I allow ourselves to be hurt by someone's words or actions to us, it's our pride that is hurt. It's not our spirituality. And when you and I can't forgive, we're not willing to suffer loss, mark it down, we've got a problem with pride in our life. Too high of a self-esteem. Let me illustrate it. This was one of my stronger moments. I don't stand before you as one who's attained in a lot of areas in your Christian life, but I'm like Paul, I'm pressing towards the mark. But one time we were doing some remodeling in an old farmhouse, and I asked the plumber to come out, and I told him we need to have this baseboard heater taken out of this bedroom so we can frame up the wall and insulate the wall, and you'll come back and put it back again. And so he did that. Now, understand, I had a few other projects for him to do, but he didn't ask, and he did that, and then he packed up all his tools and carried them out, his toolbox, and carried it back out to his van. And then he came to me and said, was there anything else you wanted me to do? I should have told him right away, I have these three things for you to do. But I failed to do that. I thought I'd tell him progressively, right? And he had taken all of his tools out, and then he came and asked, is there anything else? Yes. And he said, you old buggered you. I was ordained as a deacon at that point. I thought, wow, you have the audacity to call a deacon an old buggard. That was my first response, but I didn't say it. And then the Spirit of God came upon me and I said, you just call me an old buggard? You're really being gracious with me. The Bible calls me a sinner. Thank you for your graciousness with me. You see what I'm talking about? That was one of my stronger moments, as I said. Willing to suffer loss. It's our pride that gets in the way of being able to release individuals from offenses that come our way. Letter F, when it's okay with you and me that the offender gets some credit for some good deed that you and I have done, it's an indication that we have forgiven them. I could tell you some personal stories about that, but I won't. It's okay, let me repeat. When it's okay that the offender gets some credit for something that good that you have done, and you're all right with it, it's an indication that truly you have forgiven that individual. Letter G. When you and I can bless the individual by giving good gifts to him or her, is a sign that we have truly forgiven that individual. Ability to bless them with a birthday card, or a Christmas card, or an anniversary card, or just a card of wishing you God's richest blessing, or giving them gifts from your garden. These are all expressions that you have really forgiven that individual. Letter H, another test of true forgiveness is when you are able to maintain long-lasting friendships. Did you hear what I said? When you are able to maintain long-lasting friendships. The reason I say that is because of this. When you and I have an unforgiving spirit, there's something inside of us that's canned up, but comes out of our mouth at inconvenient times when we're really not aware of it. People who have a problem forgiving others hurt other people. That is a true statement. People that have an unforgiving spirit sometimes, quite frequently, are known to say words that incur hurt in their closest relationships. And you know what the tendency for those people to do? Back off from that brother or that sister. I don't like to get hurt. So I'm going to withdraw myself from that individual. You follow what I'm saying? So look at your own life. The old friends, do you still have them today? Or have you sensed a withdrawal of those old friends, maybe an indication that you've got some unforgiveness in your hidden deep, deep, deep in your heart of something that may have happened 25 years ago. What time am I supposed to quit? The next point of our message is some helps to learning to forgive our fellow man. Oh, I should say sometimes people have an unforgiving spirit towards God himself. That's right. An unforgiving spirit towards God himself. I thought about this the other night when the Northern Lights were such a beautiful display of the Northern Lights in Lebanon County. And my wife and I were away in Christian service out of our community, way up in the mountains, at a viewing. attending to the work of the kingdom. And we got all kinds of messages on our phones while we were in waiting in the auditorium for the viewing, unawares to us that what was taking place outside. And when we went to leave an hour and a half later, we discovered that we had missed the beautiful display of Northern Lights. And all the way home, my wife said for many years, the one thing she would like to see in this earthly life is the Northern Lights. And you gave such a wonderful display tonight that we were away in your work and your kingdom and you barred it from us. Why did you do that, God? And I thought about it. Forgive the Lord. And later that night, he gave us a little bit of a display of what he had shown graciously. Listen, friends, we mustn't question God. We must forgive him when he doesn't give us what we want. When we want it, God is, he's sovereign and he's perfect, and his plan for our life is, it'll all fit together someday. We'll understand that puzzle. But please, don't become bitter at God. I could tell you some illustrations of people who've done that. Time doesn't permit. Helps to forgive. Ask letter A, ask the Lord to fill you with love and pity for the offender. It'll go a long way. And yes, even us preachers sometimes need to ask the Lord, I'm really struggling with my attitudes towards his brother or sister. Help me, Lord. Help me. I need your help. And God is willing to give us the help that we need. Ask the Lord to fill your heart with love and compassion for the offender. Letter B, humble yourself and recognize your own humanity and imperfections. None of us raise our hand that we're perfect this morning. And in not doing that, I'm assuming we all have had a problem offending someone along life's journey. Think about that. When you struggle with forgiving someone else, think about your own humanity and how people had to put up with you. Yeah, people had to put up with me. After serving in a congregation as bishop for quite a few years and counseling the one deacon about, and I forget what the issue was, I said, well, I just want to thank you as a deacon for putting up with me these years of serving together. And it was like his mouth fell open. He thought, bishops don't have that kind of humility. Again, that was one of my stronger moments. Not always am I that spiritual. And I went on to tell him, well, you know, sometimes I get pretty strong opinions. And you've been gracious with me and helped me through these years. Humble yourselves and recognize your own humanity and imperfections. Letter C, recognize the seriousness of holding a grudge. It will invalidate your passport to heaven and to New Jerusalem. And it will affect your worship. Letter D, allow the Lord to be the avenger. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Just give it to God. Let him take care of it. Letter E, recognize it's your pride that is hurt, and that pride needs to be crucified on a daily experience. Letter F, rest in the fact that our sovereign God orchestrates all our circumstances in our lives for our good. Romans 8, 28. And I use the illustration of David in 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 15, where an in-law of David, when David was running for his life, an in-law of David threw stones at David, picked up stones and threw them at him. An in-law problem. Threw stones at him. And then he cursed David and called him a son of Belial. David's right-hand man, I think it was Abishai, said, let me go over and take off his head for cursing you and calling you a son of Belial. You know what David responded by saying? David looked above Shimei's and he seen the providential hand of God. God allowed Shimei to throw stones at him and curse him and call him a son of Belial. And David responded by saying, let him curse me because God told him to curse me. So what's a help in helping us to forgive our fellow men? Recognize that God allowed that statement to come my direction for my good. And much as it hurts, I want to learn the lesson, whatever lesson God has for me to learn. I want to learn the lesson because I don't want to have to repeat this school subject. So lift your eyes up and realize, let me restate that, rest in the fact that our sovereign God orchestrates all our circumstances, everything that comes our way, for our good. Back to Colossians in closing, the third chapter. I would like to read verses 12 through 17 now. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's kneel together for prayer.